In this episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast, we're talking about my new book, Empower Your Mind for Success, A Hypnotic Guide. This is episode part two of the book review. So if you didn't listen to part one, hop back an episode and catch up. For those of you on Facebook Live, sorry for the delay. I'll explain that. I'll explain that in just a moment. In the meantime, we'll be right back.
Get ready for the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright, originating from the suburbs of Detroit, Michigan. He has hypnotized thousands of people from all over the United States. David R. Wright has been featured on news outlets all across the country and is the clinical director of an outpatient mental health and hypnosis clinic located just south of Detroit, where he helps people daily using the power of hypnosis. Welcome, the Motor City Hypnotist, David R. Wright.
What is going on, my friends? This is David Wright, the Motor City Hypnotist, and we are back with another episode of the Motor City Hypnotist Podcast.
Yeah, finally?
Yeah, finally. Those of you on Facebook Live, we apologize for the 15-minute delay.
15 minutes, is that how long it took? Jesus.
We're recording two episodes back-to-back, and as soon as we ended last episode... One of the foam panels fell off the wall and just made our system go haywire.
It just knocked
the desk. Knocked everything out.
Yeah.
So we're here struggling to figure out why is this not working now?
And those on Facebook Live, they're probably hearing us going, okay, this, yeah, that.
Oh, that'd be great if they were listening to the whole thing.
Probably.
They're probably
what
like,
what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, they're probably like,
like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
Oh, my God.
That's what they were thinking.
Bless it.
So thanks for Facebook Live people. If you're still here, thanks for hanging in. Yeah, we apologize for the technical glitch. Jeez, we're back. We're back though. We're back.
We're here.
Words of George Costanza. I'm back, baby. I'm back. So this is David Wright again. This is Matt Fox with me as usual.
Pushing buttons and making panels for
We're here
off
in the South Podcast Detroit Southfield Studios. Yay. It's a tad less palatial since the panel fell off and knocked our system out.
Waiting for that.
But it'll be okay. Well, we've worked through it. It's the perils of show business, I guess.
Correct.
So, yes, thanks for joining me, folks. Let me tell you where you can find me. My website is MotorCityHypnotist.com. On the website, you find all my cool stuff. The podcast page, if you guys are going there for the podcast, it is probably not quite I'm doing some work on it. So if it doesn't look right or you don't have episodes, my suggestion for now is go find it on your podcast provider, whoever that is, Stitcher, iTunes, Apple, or Spotify, wherever that is.
Yeah.
But that will be up to date. I'm working. It's in the midst of an overhaul. Let's say that. You can find me on social media, Facebook and YouTube, which are both Motor City Hypnotist, and on Twitter and Instagram, which are both Motor City Hypno, and that's HYPNO. Ah.
Hungry Hypno.
Yeah, hungry Hypnos. Yep. And as usual, we're giving away a free hypnosis guide that's available on every show that we do. Again, it's a PDF just explaining the basics of hypnosis, dispelling some myths and misconceptions, kind of giving you an idea exactly how and why it works. And that's always available. Just something that I like to give away. You can grab that. That link will be in the show notes as well. And the most important thing is wherever you are listening, whether it be on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever it is, please connect, like, subscribe, join, whatever that thing is where you're going to connect with my show, and please leave a review. That's the most important thing. Is more reviews, the more people find my show, the better it goes. It's better for everybody. Well, better for me too.
Yes.
In particular. So yeah, I would really appreciate a review. That would be fantastic. So yeah, thanks folks. We're here. Again, sorry for those of you listening to audio, you have no idea what we're talking about because
honestly,
we just hopped right in. So.
I'm just going to be a little bit later for the party tonight. So you take your time.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good.
You take your time.
Yeah,
I want folks to understand what's going on with your book.
Absolutely.
And all that
absolutely.
Stuff,
so let's hop into it.
Oh.
That's how winning is done.
All right. So our winner of the week, because I like animals, we get a lot of animal stories. So this is an animal story.
Oh, fun. I'm listening.
You can find a little bit of everything at Walmart, from produce to groceries to lingerie to big screen TVs and auto parts. For one very lucky mutt, as in dog, if you know where to look, you can also find your misplaced human friend. When Abby the dog disappeared in Dothan, Alabama, all she left behind was her collar and an empty tie-out line.
Ooh.
June Roundtree and her husband scoured the neighborhood door to door searching for their missing four-year-old black and white fur baby to no avail. 3 weeks passed and there was still no sign of Abby. Then something extraordinary happened.
What happened?
June was working the weekend shift at the Walmart register when she heard a ruckus. Oh, I'm sorry. She heard a rumpus. Okay. Rumpus is a funny word.
Rumpus. I don't know. I haven't heard rumpus in a very long time.
Rumpus is, that's a kind of a crazy word.
What in blazes are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a rumpus. That's what that article says. Somehow, a dog had gotten loose in the store and was dodging the would-be shoppers and staff trying to corral her as she careened through the various departments. I was like, what in the world is happening? Customer service associate Danielle Robinette told the Washington Post. When the dog arrived at June's register, it was clear she wasn't checking out. She was checking in. Although June could scarcely believe it, the dashing doggy in line was her long-lost absent Abby. I called her name and she came to me, Roundtree told the Washington Post. I bent over and hugged her. I completely lost it then. I couldn't speak. I was in complete shock. I just couldn't believe it. No one is sure where Abby was for 3 weeks when she went AWOL, but for a dog that had been on its own for 3 weeks, she was in remarkably good shape.
Wow.
The Roundtrees believe someone must have been feeding her, even if they were unable to catch her, and they're truly grateful for that. There's also speculation that since June had been with Abby in the Walmart parking lot a few times, the dog may have recognized the location when she happened upon it in her travels. Isn't that crazy?
That is great.
Whether Abby was prompted to brave the superstore's threshold in search of food, shelter, or something else is anyone's guess. But we'd like to think the canny canine followed her hunting instincts on a hunch that June would be inside. While we're not sure what aisle Walmart generally stocks happy reunions on, we think it's safe to say when Abby left the store to go home with her mom, she was one... Oh, it's a terrible pun in this article.
Okay, here
she
we
was
go.
Possumly, she was one possumly satisfied customer.
Dun-dun. Ba-dum-bum.
I don't have a rim shot on here.
All right,
we'll just
enough.
Do that one.
Oh,
there you go.
Great Odin's Raven.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. The dog was gone for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Just on its own. And finds her owner in Walmart, working in Walmart, in the store.
Wow.
Like, how did the dog even get in the store to start with?
It's Walmart. Anybody could go
inside
Walmart.
Oh, yeah, I guess so, yeah.
It's that old. That's that older person working the front door. Hey, welcome to Walmart.
Welcome. Yeah, just waved at the dog as they came in. Yeah. They said, "Oh, no pants. That's okay." So yeah, that's a cool story. Yeah, I heard the dog found her owner at Walmart. So for Abby the dog and June the owner,
that's great.
Here are winners of the week.
Thank you.
How winning is done.
That's a cool story.
Yes, it
that's
is. Cool. Thank you. And that's the thing with animals, dogs, you know, that their sense of smell, their olfactory sense. She probably got a whiff the scent of her owner, and they just so happened to be back at that store.
You know, but I think about this because I have a dog.
Yeah.
And I just, while he is smart. I mean, I've had dogs. I grew up with dogs. Mm-hmm. This is our first dog. It is our family.
Sure.
But I know they're smart. They know, you know, they know how to do tricks and sit up and
they know
play.
How to push. They know how to push your buttons too.
Yeah, exactly. They know how to get what they want.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I just feel like my dog would not have the brains to find me if he ever got lost. I just think he'd just be, you know, I just feel like as a human, he would just be one of those people that just wander around and just be like,
Did that article say if that was a female or male dog by chance?
I'm assuming it's female because it's called Abby.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But who knows?
Right, okay.
They didn't reference, but then just by saying. The name, I'm assuming it's probably female.
It was a male. He probably out soiling oats and stuff. You
right. He's probably going out to have some fun. Then he's coming back later.
He put on his white dress shoes, and he got out of town for a little bit.
60 times. Yep, that's for sure. So, folks, we are talking about my book, Empower Your Mind for Success, A Hypnotic Guide. It just came out on Sunday of last week.
Yeah.
Actually, I got it in the mail on Sunday, so it was actually out on Friday of last week. So just about a week ago.
Nice.
It was after we recorded, so I didn't have it then. But,
well, I was scrolling through.
Oh, no, you're right, because I didn't have the physical copy.
Correct.
It was posted when we recorded.
I was scrolling
week.
Through my Facebook feed, and then yep. I see you sitting on your porch having a scotch and
yep.
a cigar.
Scotch and
say,
a cigar.
Hey, guess what I got?
And I'm like, what came in a package? So the Amazon guy dropped it off. So those of you on Facebook Live, I know you've seen it, probably, if you're on my Facebook page.
It's, you know, and honestly, like I said before, it's very catcher in the rye-ish, just the font and
yes,
the coloring.
I wanted something simple, but at the same time, because I mean, I told you I'm in a couple of Facebook groups with other authors,
yes.
other aspiring authors,
right,
and a lot of the covers I see, I you know, they're like, oh, that's cool, but a lot of them are like, whoa, it's way too much, like it's just
no,
like I just can't look at it.
It catches your eye.
So yeah, and that's the whole point. And I did want it to be simple based on some other books that I've read.
Right, right.
So yeah, it's that's what I wanted, somebody just to look and say, oh, what's that? Mm-hmm. So last episode we covered the first couple chapters. The first chapter is This Time Will Be Different, mm-hmm. and the second chapter we talked about purpose.
Right.
And Agent Smith made an appearance.
These hobbits.
So once these
sorry,
these hobbits.
It's just Agent Smith when he's
in
the Hobbit.
Smith. Yeah, exactly. And I just, like, absolutely. Yeah, it's the same actor. It's the same voice.
Uh-huh.
So we talked about chapter 1 and 2 kind of sets up, okay, why am I doing this? How's it going to be different?
Mm-hmm.
So chapter 3 going forward, we hit a few chapters of things that you need to work on now that mm-hmm. you have your purpose. How okay. are you going to make these corrections? And if those of you who have listened to the podcast for any amount of time, chapter 3 is how to guarantee failure.
Oh, we talked about
yep.
that. Yeah, that was early on.
It was.
Too.
It was way back when.
Yeah.
And really, it just says that because you have, and I preface this by saying this chapter is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but there are definitely things that are going to guarantee that you fail.
Mm.
If you do these things as habits, these are habits you have to break,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise you're not going to be successful. So we talk about other people who have failed, but it didn't stop them. They did what they had to do, and they moved on, and they became successful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's realizing, what am I doing that's causing my failures? How do I correct it, which is going to lead to success in the future?
Mm.
We all know, because I'm a Stephen King fan, mm-hmm. we've mentioned him many times on the show. His first novel, Carrie, he was working on it, actually threw it in the trash.
I did not know that.
He did. And his wife, Tabitha, mm-hmm. pulled it out of the trash, read it, and she says, I think you have something here. I think you need to work on this.
Hmm.
He was done with it. He just thought it was no good.
Right.
And that's that self-criticism, mm-hmm. that self-doubt that you get. Another famous author, J.K. Rowling, she was on she was on government assistance before she made it big with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So those are examples of people that even though they supposedly have failed many times, it didn't stop them from pursuing what they wanted, what was going to make them happy. Mm. Again, fulfilling their purpose, because
right.
they had a purpose for what they were doing. So here are just a couple of things that if you do these things, you can guarantee you're going to fail. Right. So and I know if you want to look back and find that podcast episode, I should have put it in my notes. I don't remember which one it was, but
okay.
The first one or one item is blame everyone else for everything wrong that happens in your life.
Right.
Just put the blame elsewhere. Never take responsibility.
Hmm.
You know, it's just always assume it's somebody else and it's not your fault.
I'm stroking my chin. I'm saying, I wonder who I know that's like that. You know?
Uh-huh.
'Cause we all know somebody like mm-hmm. that. We really do.
I mean, think about it. Think about that person at work that's always like, oh, it wasn't my fault. I didn't know. Or so-and-so was supposed to do it. They're always deflecting blame and not taking responsibility. And that's the big thing. You're going to make mistakes. And I say this to every client I see. We all screw up. We all have issues we can work on. Nobody's perfect. So that means you're going to make mistakes along the way. Mm-hmm. The best thing is to own them so that you learn how not to make that mistake going forward. Another thing to guarantee failure is just do the same thing every day. Never do anything different. Because if you just do the same thing every day, you're going to be exactly where you are now 10 years from now.
Yep.
Nothing will be different.
Nope.
You're going to be stuck right where you're at. And I say this a lot to clients. I'm like, listen, specifically clients who might be depressed and they're unmotivated and they have the same routine. I'll just give you general examples because this pattern fits a lot of them. You know, they go to sleep and they sleep until 11 or 12 because they don't feel motivated. They feel tired. They're depressed. They get up. They might eat. They might not. They just sit. They might watch some TV or, you know, play a game on the computer. But they don't, there's nothing to get them moving. There's nothing to get them to change and do anything different. And I always get the response. I'm like, okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to set an alarm and be up. And I'm not even talking like unreasonable times, but like 9, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And the first thing I want you to do is I want you to do some sort of exercise for 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just physical movement, whether it be walking, whether it be just going up and down the stairs. Mm-hmm. Not anything that's going to be super difficult, but you just have to change this habit. You have to change what you're doing. Because if you do the same thing you're doing, nothing's going to change.
Right.
That's a big one. And I know we probably hit on that in the podcast episode when we talked about this as well. Another one that really, this is one that I see a lot too. Just be angry. Just
all
stay angry all the time.
Don't be Christian Bale.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be like this guy.
What the fuck are you doing? like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you?
Yeah,
oh, good for you. Yeah, no. No. Don't shut me up.
Yeah. Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy. Yeah. Always angry, you know?
Yeah. Always angry. Just.
Well, for that point in time, yeah.
Yeah. For that moment, yes. Yeah. But I mean, feel like, but people who are angry, they. It's always comes from some other emotion. Unless you identify where it's coming from, you're not, and this sounds trite and cliche, you're not going to be happy. How can you be happy when you're always angry? Mm-hmm. And it can't happen. They can't coexist. One of the other ways to guarantee your failure is never do anything new or challenging. So a lot of people, again, a lot of clients, for examples, they'll be in a job that they hate, but then when they get offered a different job, they'll be like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that because I know this one. Even though it sucks, I know it.
Right.
But the change is scary for them.
Right.
The change is like, ooh, even though I'm miserable where I'm at least I know what the miserable is.
You know, that in order to feel better about yourself and that you know you're succeeding, you have to challenge yourself. You have to put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to work every single time? Are you going to be successful every single time? Absolutely not.
No, but as long as you're learning every single time, that's the key.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. Anything worthwhile that you do involves some risk.
Mm-hmm.
That's just part of how it works. And if you never risk anything, you're never going to gain anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that to gamblers. I'm just saying that in general.
No, absolutely. You have to put yourself out there. There's a risk. You walk out the door, it's a risk.
Well, sure. Yeah. Every day is a risk. Every time. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Even in your house, you're at risk.
Yeah. You get it. You crawl out of bed. Hey, you know what? That's a risk.
I mean, the risk is very small, but you could be at risk lying in bed. Mm-hmm. What if your, I don't know, what if your light fixture fell out and smacked you in the head or something? Who knows?
I've had that happen to me. I was a very young gentleman, very young kid. And light fixture came right off the
wall.
Hit me right in the face.
I always think that with our ceiling fan. I just always kind of wonder, you know, if that comes off, it probably won't hurt us too bad. Cause it's not right over our heads,
right,
you know.
Right.
Or give up whenever you meet resistance. That's another way to guarantee your failure. Just like, that's too hard. I'm going to give up. I can't do it. So this whole chapter is dedicated on these habits that you have to get rid of these habits in order to experience success. Mm-hmm. Here's another one, and we talked about not taking responsibility.
Ooh.
But the other one that goes with it is making excuses why you can't do anything.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I don't have enough money. Mm-hmm. All of these things that people tell each other. And I know I probably told this example on the show before about my dad. My dad was he started as a blue collar worker, but he worked for a steel mill for like 30 years.
Mm.
And he was probably in his young 50s, maybe 52. And this was back in like the early 80s, mm-hmm. maybe right about the early 80s. So Great Lakes Steel laid off all of their employees that were over 50.
Did they?
Shouldn't say all, a big portion of them.
I was going to say, wow.
Which you can't do nowadays because of it's age discrimination.
Yeah, very much so.
So I'm not, I don't have the details of that. So, well, Great Lakes doesn't exist anymore, so it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to, I'm not going to defame them in any way because they don't exist. So for him, he could have said, oh, well, I can't do, what am I going to do now? He could have made excuses and just wallowed in self-pity, but he went to nursing school. He became an RN.
Wow.
He got his nursing degree at age like 56.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Worked as a nurse until he...
And I'm sure that was even more fulfilling for him.
Oh, absolutely. He was doing something that he loved at that point.
Yeah.
I know that he was working infectious care for a while, and then he was in another area, and then I think he had taken the test to actually be an ER nurse. And I don't think that panned out, but he was doing something he liked, and he had some purpose at that. And we go back to our purpose, which was way back in chapter two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So all of these things, and there's a whole list in that chapter of things. If you want to fail, do these things, which in a way means don't do them. But, chapter four, we talk about beliefs. So this is the big thing. Our beliefs impact everything we do. And we're going to go back to a recent episode that we talked about the philosopher Epictetus, mm-hmm. which I mentioned in this chapter.
Nice.
And his, what Epictetus said is, actually, this is Darren Brown. Who says this, but it's about Epictetus. Don't tell yourself you're going to fail. That's just a story we tell ourselves. And this idea that our stories define us, in other words, it's not really events that affect us, but our reactions to them. So that whole philosophy of Epictetus, this Stoic philosophy approach, mm-hmm. is that things don't affect you. Your reactions and your thoughts about those things affect you.
Mm-hmm.
And we've used examples, many times in the past, and I use this with clients a lot. What's the difference between one person who experiences the death of a loved one? Second person experiences the same thing, a death of a loved one. Person one spends years in grief and unable to function and emotionally unstable, mm-hmm. and anxious, and they just can't get past that loss. Person two goes through grieving stages, is angry, is upset, is sad, but eventually they get back to quote unquote normal.
Right. They come to terms
with it, and they move on and they continue their life.
Mm-hmm.
The same experience happened to both people. The difference between those two people is how they think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. So your beliefs dictates everything that you do, because if you do it based on your beliefs and you don't change those beliefs, even though they're self-defeating, mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to do it.
Right.
And the example I use in the book is, kids believe in Santa Claus. It's a belief.
Yes.
They believe in Santa Claus. They think this guy comes and comes down the chimney and leaves them gifts. They believe that. Now think about it. If that belief never changed, how would that affect you into adulthood?
You know what? We'd be a lot happier.
We might. Although when we realize that Santa's not bringing us anything.
Right.
You know, But at some point that's a, as a kid, it's okay. That's just, it's something people do. But as you get older, that's a faulty belief. Right. It's, you're believing something that's not true.
Right.
And how will that affect you going forward?
I got to share with you, my sister is an amazing individual.
Uh-huh.
Raising my niece, she would actually get flour and she'd put on really big shoes Christmas Eve after my niece would go to bed, and she would walk in the shoes, put them in flour.
And do the snow prints.
And do the snow prints in the carpet.
Oh.
From the chimney to the tree, and then from the tree around, sometime around the tree, and then back to the chimney.
Wow.
So, you know, my niece would wake up that Christmas morning, and she'd be like, oh, my God, Santa was here.
Well, and for kids, that's a great thing.
It was.
Believe me, folks, I'm not saying don't deprive your kids of the Santa
thing. Gosh, sure.
That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, you know, if you're 18 and you still believe that,
you're gonna
have some issues because your belief system has to update with what's going on, with what your reality is.
That's absolutely fair.
Yep. So beliefs define you. And then we go into chapter 5 and we talk about, okay, so if I have limiting beliefs, if you're raised, and unfortunately in some situations this happens, people are raised in very abusive environments where parents are critical, or, you know, they may say to Johnny, oh, Johnny, you're no good. You're useless. You're worthless. You can't do this. Okay. And at some point as a child, again, you tend to believe what your parents tell you because that's your only source of information.
Mm.
So if somebody has taken that belief and it's locked into their subconscious, they continue to believe that even into adulthood, that they're not any good, that they can't be successful, that they're useless.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to identify those beliefs and remove those. We have to change those. So these events sometimes will leave what we call a memory imprint. I know we've talked about this on the show before. A traumatic event or something where you felt hurt in some way, that leaves an emotional imprint in your mind so that whenever you have a similar situation, it just reinforces that feeling and it just locks it in more and more. And we all know, because this is the Motor City Hypnotist podcast, we have to change in depth these embedded belief patterns that are not good for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about this all the time.
Change your thinking.
People who smoke, they smoke because they're addicted to nicotine. But the physical addiction, you're done with in a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that when people quit for a year, they go back? There is no physical addiction.
No.
It's the mental addiction.
Correct.
They haven't changed the thinking on it. We go to chapter 6.
Yes.
Procrastination.
No, and, don't do that one just
yet. Yeah, we'll wait on that
one.
You know, again, it's just people procrastinate for a lot of different reasons. And I'll say, professionally speaking, a lot of it is just suppressed frustration and anger that makes people procrastinate. And we know, common sense tells us, it never works out better when we procrastinate.
Yeah,
I can tell you the times I spent in college staying up all night long the night before to write a paper or study for an exam. That is not the ideal way to get it done.
No, because you may not succeed. You may not You may not get the outcome that you want out of it.
Exactly, because I'm waiting and being forced to do it, and it all goes back. And there's a lot of the stuff. It's like that we hit on episodes. It's James Clear talks about when the pain of not doing something becomes more than the pain of doing it. That's when you get forced into taking action.
Right.
Chapter 7, we move into motivation. So we want to stop procrastinating. So how do we get motivated to do that? Stephen Pressfield, in his novel, The War of Art, says at some... Oh, here's the statement I was just talking about. The War of Art, Stephen Pressfield states, at some point the pain of not doing it becomes greater than the pain of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the essence of motivation. Every choice has a cost, but it's easier to overcome the inconvenience of action when we are motivated than the distress of staying the same.
Right.
So a lot of people will say, yeah, I'm just not motivated. That's fine, but doing nothing is not helping you.
No.
Doing nothing is making it worse. So you have to take some kind of action to change that script. And again, change that thinking.
Mm.
And then we go into now taking action as far as, okay, so how do I manage all of this? There's a whole chapter on scheduling and how that will help you. We go into chapter 9 on how to learn from failure. Like when you do fail, because it will happen, you will make mistakes. What do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
And then chapter 10 is a whole chapter dedicated to hypnosis, how it works, myths and misconceptions, a lot of things we've covered here.
Nice.
But telling you why it works. And then chapter 11 is where we pull it together. Chapter 11 is called Empower Your Mind. And this is where we talk about how you yourself can hypnotize or get into a hypnotic trance. The deep breathing, the process to get there, and then suggestions you can tell yourself to change those embedded faulty thinking patterns. Now, the great thing with this is it's a lot, especially for books. You can read about doing self-hypnosis. There are tons of books out there. This whole chapter focuses on that. You can read it, but it's hard to do it while you're reading it. So a lot of times you might have to read it through a couple of times just to kind of know what to do. The better thing is if you get to the end of the chapter, once it's done with that, there's a link here to download a whole recording specifically to address everything in this book.
That's brilliant.
Yep. So right at the end of the last chapter, it's a download. The link is in the book, mm-hmm. and you can download the audio file that I made, and it takes you through the whole process of hypnosis. All the suggestions in that recording are what we cover in this book.
Mm. That's great.
To change and make, you know, again, to change, to be motivated, to not procrastinate, to focus on scheduling, to have that embedded belief that I can do this, I will be successful,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is you're taking on. So, yeah, that's the book in a nutshell. So,
no, thank you for your work on that.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
It's just, it's fun. It's nice to be, Yeah, it's nice to be an author.
Yeah.
I can add that to my list. I can add that, and somebody will say,
yeah.
Oh, good for you.
And then I can tell them.
I'm very important. Yep. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Well, not yet. Yeah. I might have some mahogany someday.
One of these days.
So, folks, that's Empower Your Mind for Success, a hypnotic guide. For those of you on Facebook Live, I'll hold it up again so you can see what it looks like. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can get on Amazon, you can get the Kindle or paperback version. And as Matt mentioned either earlier this episode or maybe the last episode, the audio version will eventually be out.
Yes.
If you like audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to hear my voice, that might work. Yep. I might hire somebody to do it. I don't know yet, but
I know a few guys.
I was going to say, Matt's one of my guys. Yeah, absolutely. So, pick it up. Pick it up if you want. Please pick it up. I mean, I think it'll be good. It'll cover a lot of the things we talked about in the last couple of episodes, but way more in depth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you can refer back to it if you have questions. So, folks, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Again, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Empower Your Mind for Success. Pick it up. And thanks so much. Thanks for the support. We will be back next episode where we're going to talk about how to deal with crisis. Oh, yeah. That's my cousin. My cousin. Awesome, Dan.
He says he's going to give it a read.
Yes. He's going to give it a read. I appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, Dan.
Or cousin. I'll call you brother, but appreciate it, Dan. So, folks, in the meantime, we will be back next time. I think I said we're talking about how to deal with crisis, which kind of fits in a little bit to what we're doing, but mm-hmm. As far as the book goes, but a little bit more specific.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the meantime, change your thinking, change your life, laugh hard, run fast, be kind. We'll see you next time.